Welcome back to the Activation Phase. This is Tim speaking. Welcome back. I'm here with JP as always. How are you doing?
Hello, everybody.
We're doing Carolingians today. One of my, I think they're amazing factions, but I don't have them yet. So let's see what they can do and how to build them. So JP, as always, tiny history lesson for us, maybe?
Carolingians, kind of a big deal in Viking Age Europe. Essentially, this is a faction that covers a very long period of time, pre-Carolingian Merovingians, tough one to say, and then the Carolingians themselves, and then the Capetians after the Carolingian period. So they have slightly different equipment options for all three. All of them have their merits. But essentially, what we're talking about is kind of like the Frankish kingdom tried to take over the rest of France, but it's kind of like the beginning of the French state. So kind of a big deal. They ended up conquering a large chunk of Europe, pretty much down to the Pyrenees, all the way into Germany and Italy as well. So pretty sizable empire. Charlemagne was kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I think even I have heard that name before. So
yeah, so it's super versatile. I think Warband is probably one of the more complex ones to play in Age of Vikings. I think Age of Vikings is a little bit of a, like, I'm not going to say simpler era, but they kind of have fewer gimmicks. It's kind of down to the basics.
Yeah.
And this one is kind of a warband that's a little bit, has like a little gimmick in terms of special abilities. It's also a little bit more of a finesse army. Like, it's very powerful, but you have to be very careful. Should we get on to the equipment options?
Yeah, let's do it. And you said before that the army is split like threefold. So what does that mean for the equipment options, JP? Just run us through them if you don't mind.
All right, let's go on to the equipment options. I'm going to start off with just the vanilla, just pure Carolingian option, and then we're going to talk about the variants after that. So
cool.
The warlord may be mounted or on foot, no special equipment. Hearthguards may be mounted or on foot, again, no special equipment. And then warriors may be mounted on horseback. If they are on foot, they may either be equipped with bows or just without any special equipment. And then finally, the levies are equipped with javelins. You have the Capetians and the Merovingians. I'm going to start in a kind of time era.
Nice.
So here they mixed it up. It's kind of starting to annoy me a little bit. So the mounted Merovingian Hearthguard are equipped with javelins. One unit of Merovingian warriors on foot may be equipped with javelins. They are Saxon mercenaries. So I have a bit of an issue with this sore point about the Saxon wars, where the Carolingians essentially genocided the Saxons. So
cool.
Not a fan.
That sounds shit. Yeah.
As a average Widukind respecter,
yeah,
I do not approve. And then they also have Capetians, who are kind of like the people who came after Charlemagne, and they may not have mounted warriors, but one unit of up to 8 warriors may be equipped with crossbows. Interesting. So definitely some interesting options there. Lots of variants that you can take, and generally, kind of in tournament settings, you have to announce what kind of flavor of Carolingian you'll be taking, and then you're just stuck with them for the rest of the tournament.
Yes. Okay, so knowing the equipment options, do you want to go into dice and battle board?
So they're just using the red and yellow continental dice.
Yeah.
Same as Normans, Poles. I'm sure I'm missing out something else.
I'm sure we are, but I don't know...
Anyway, they're nice dice. You can use them for multiple things.
They are nice dice.
Also, in terms of models, if you want to be super loosey on the historical side, you can just generally use a lot of Norman models anyways, especially for the Capetians. So no big deal there. Let's talk about the basic abilities. So the first three abilities are the same as every other board. So you have your Warlord, Hero, and Hearthguard activation, your Warriors, your Levy, same dice facings, nothing special there. And then for your combat bonus, again, you can put any type of dice on there. and you have the same melee shooting or shooting reaction abilities. However, you gain attack or defense dice equal to your Prolium. Then you discard one Prolium dice from, or one die from your Prolium. So this makes no sense whatsoever until we get to the next one. So this is kind of where the activation pool dice would normally go. So instead of that, you have something called Prolium, which is a special ability. So this is up to three dice can be placed in this ability, each showing a different symbol. When a saga ability refers to your Prolium, to the number of dice placed on this ability. So essentially, you need a common, uncommon, and a rare. And you need to roll those to be able to place them on the Prolium. You can place up to, three Prolium dice in a single turn if you're lucky enough to roll all three. This is kind of where the first trick comes to play. Sometimes you don't roll a rare all game, which is somewhat complicated for the Carolingians.
That's the understatement of the century. Like having no rare, I think, for the Carolingians is... Oof. But you have some ways to kind of fish for rare, so it's fine.
That's true. All right, let's move on to the advanced abilities and all the juicy abilities that they can do.
Yeah. All right, so first up is a melee shooting or shooting reaction. It's called Domine, and it takes a rare. Trigger any melee shooting or shooting reaction ability on your battle board. This ability cannot cost more than one die. You may use this to trigger an ability that has already been used this turn. So the part about the ability not being able to cost more than one die doesn't really make sense. I think this should have been FAQ'd out. There is no ability that takes more than one die. That is a melee shooting or shooting reaction. But anyway, so you pay rare to play any ability on your board with these triggers again. And this can be mediocre on some boards, but boy, let me tell you, it's really, really good on this board. There's very, very good abilities here. So, yeah.
Yeah, this one's pretty gross, actually. Maybe we can talk about where we would use Domine once we get to the actual abilities, because otherwise it doesn't really make sense. But just generally, in terms of when to trigger this one, essentially you can use a single ability in like a single melee phase, or you can use if you're doing two different combats and you want to trigger an ability two times in two different combats, you can also do that. So it's basically, if you like a specific ability on this battle board, you can do it twice. So
yes,
good times. Incredibly powerful, either to make like one super deadly a super deadly attack, or just kind of spread your power over multiple different melees or shooting attacks. So super versatile.
This helps for you to not be predictable, right? Your opponent has no idea what you're doing, because you can play any of the four abilities, five abilities, I guess, with the combat pool that this can be can be used with, and so your opponent has no idea what the heck you're doing.
Yeah. Also, it doesn't actually stipulate that you have to play something that you've already played before. You may do it, but if you've, for example, placed a dice on something defensive, you didn't play something on a something offensive ability. If you play this one, you can basically just kind of go on the fly and be like, oh, actually, I need a little bit more melee punch, so I'm going to play a melee ability. So it's incredibly flexible and a lot of fun.
Yes, I mean for you, right? So that's the
Yes, we're talking kind of from the Carolingian perspective right now.
Yeah.
It's fine. All right, so the next one is using two common dice. This is Paratus. It's an orders ability. So take one of your available saga dice and add it to your inactive saga dice rare face up. So this is kind of one of the things you were talking about, how to create a rare. This is one of the ways of getting around it. You do kind of waste one of your dice. Also, we haven't talked about it yet, but basically you end up playing this entire battle board with only five dice. Because if things go well, you end up with three dice on your Prolium. No way of getting like an activation pool kind of to increase the dice. Basically you're just stuck with five dice to place it somewhere on here. These abilities sound incredibly amazing. However, just keep in mind, you have to be incredibly efficient and plan ahead with your dice placement, with your movements, with your advanced abilities. So it's very flexible. You can kind of create your own luck with this Spartus ability as well. But like you're basically just using 40% of your dice capacity for a turn.
Yeah, I mean, this works in the beginning, right? If you feel like you've spent three turns rolling dice, re-rolling with one of the abilities that's going to come up, and you still don't have a rare and you kind of need it, that's like somewhat soon, then I feel like this is what you can do. But in the late game, this is very expensive to pay like two of out of your three dice that you may be still regenerating to get a rare.
Yeah, indeed. But pretty useful and kind of sometimes things just don't go your way, so you need to make your own luck.
Yeah. Next up is Damnatio. It's an Ordos ability that takes a common and a rare. Choose a unit with a number of figures up to three times your Prelium. Until the end of your turn, all attack dice targeting this unit get a +1 bonus. So this is incredibly expensive for a board like this, especially when you want your if you want your rares for other very good abilities. But this can also be an insane payoff if your opponent has a Death Star. I think that's a word we've used many times on the podcast before. But yeah, if they have a big important unit that kind of they need for their strategy, this can be useful to use your javelin warriors or levies or your javelin hearthguard, whatever, and then like shoot and attack and do all these different shots and attacks to. Yeah, this is not just a melee, this is for shooting as well. So just get all these shots in and then obviously hearthguard melt to this, to any like half serious amount of shots, because the +1 just hurts them so much. But to be honest, I think this is one where you need to really think about whether you want to do this, because your rare could do very incredible things and your common can, you need some activation dice as well. So I think this is situational.
Yeah, it's super powerful, but just two dice on this board, like it's painful to put it down.
Yeah.
Like you really,
including a rare. Yeah.
Definitely. But like you said, the shooting, basically you can make your bow armed warriors shoot like crossbows without having to have a ability in between. So
yeah.
Like there's a case to be made that this is pretty sweet.
Of course, of course.
So far, so good. The next one is called Vires, something like that, for a common. So this is an orders or orders reaction. So discard all the dice in your... I keep saying Prolium, but it might be Proelium. I'm not sure. I'm going to say Prolium. So discard all the dice in your Prolium, as well as the die which triggered the ability. Reroll these dice and place them on your battle board. So you can basically just... reroll and hope for a rare again. There's nothing stopping you putting the dice back on the Prolium if you roll all three faces again.
Yeah,
kind of like give you an extra chance. So it's not something you would do every single turn, but sometimes you just need to kind of see if you can get some extra luck and kind of get hope for the best and get. If you need an uncommon or something like that. So again, not something you do every time, but it does kind of give you a little bit more flexibility if you really need to pull something off.
Yeah, I think this is a classic played turn one or two and possibly turn five or six, because turn one or two, you can just reroll like all uncommons and commons, just put two of those in there, play a common to reroll all three dice and like, hope for a rare, which isn't too uncommon off of rolling three dice, no pun intended. And then for turn five or six, if you see that you need to do something special and you need to unlock the dice kind of prisoned in your Prelium, I'll just say Prelium, so we're even. Sure. No, we're
covering all the bases here.
Yeah. So we're just making sure one of us is wrong. So to unlock all the dice in your Prelium, that can help to do some like a power surge or whatever in the late game. But also having these Perilium dice up in the late game is a power surge in itself, because your abilities will be so strong compared to your opponents. So there's definitely a case to be made that this can be used in the last two turns as well, and then definitely for sure in the first two ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, just in terms of the combat bonus itself, we didn't mention it while we were covering it, but you do get, for even a common dice, you get three dice back in terms of defense or attack. So combat bonus is kind of supercharged on this board as well.
Yeah, you definitely, I think you definitely want to do it while your Perilium is full. So you gain, you basically pay two commons to gain three attack or defense dice, because you're spending one die out of your Perilium, and you have to kind of put that back at some point. Two commons for a consistent three attack or defense dice is okay. That's okay.
All right,
next up is Illusio. It's an activation that takes an uncommon. Activate a unit for a charge, which generates no fatigue. The number of figures in this unit cannot be more than twice your Perilium. So, best case scenario, you have three dice in your Perilium, and then this unit that you are charging with no fatigue has six figures. And as we all know, six-figure Hearthguard units are a treat. They are very nice, and also your Hearthguard can definitely use this, even with two dice in Perilium. So yes, this is, I think, in most armies that run like Hearthguard with their javelins, the six stacks of Hearthguard with javelins, I think that this ability is played every turn. It's a charge with no fatigue, and spoiler, there's going to be a move with no fatigue, and so your Hearthguard with javelins can cover 36 inches and charge with no fatigue and shoot like a million javelin shots. So this is good. No, this is very good, especially for Hearthguard, maybe for Warriors, and of course for your Warlord.
Yeah, so this is a fun one. I think we're going to talk about some combos with it, with the one coming up next. So I think the one we're going to talk about now is kind of the workhorse of the Carolingians.
Absolutely.
And it also kind of gives you a little bit of kind of a workaround only having five Saga dice to put down on the board. So this is Ardor. This is an activation. You can use either a common or an uncommon. So choose a number of friendly units less than or equal to your Perilium. These units are activated to move or fire. This does not generate a fatigue. So pretty sweet. Just a note, you cannot use Domine for this, the first ability, unfortunately, since it's an activation ability.
Yeah.
So you can't just crazy amounts of activations, but it does mean that you can be super duper fast, since this is I guess you'll normally be activating three units at least, so you can move and shoot a unit of levy with bows, for example, and not have any fatigue. Or you can do a move and then a charge, or actually you can do a move with a basic ability, do a move using Ardor, and then do a charge, which is the kind of the effect that you were talking about with Illusio, and arriving 36 inches later with no with no fatigue whatsoever, and being basically being able to pop up anywhere on the board,
and like 12 javelin shots made in between for free for no fatigue as well.
Good time.
So yeah, good time.
So
yeah,
this is pretty amazing. Also, this is kind of a this gives you a choice, because essentially one of the, I believe, the Capetians give you the choice of taking crossbow armed warriors. Here's like, this ability is less powerful on them because then they cannot shoot two times in a row. However, for just the warriors armed with bows, this makes them kind of like, this is the ability which we call the Carolingian machine gun option. Because essentially you can take a large group of warriors with bows, activate them to shoot, play Ardor, activate them to shoot again, and then you can even buff them up a little bit with a ability which we're going to be talking about soon. So very efficient. You end up doing a lot with a single unit and then not having any fatigue whatsoever at the end, and then you can throw in a banner into the group as well, and then that way they just kind of dish a lot of shooting dice and then end up with no fatigue, basically.
Yeah, and I think the machine gun, when we talk about the machine gun, it needs to be mentioned that the levies, javelin levies, if they start within medium of whatever they want to shoot from previous turns, then you pay a die to shoot them once, nothing happens, you don't get fatigue. You play Arda to shoot them again, nothing happens, no fatigue. You use the free javelin shot, nothing happens, no fatigue, so that's three shots already, no fatigue. And then you can pay a die again if you want to, or like Wheelbay, and shoot them again. So that's on their fourth shot, they get one fatigue. So a normal 12 stack of levies is pumping out 24 shots for one fatigue. And since Arda does this through to three of your javelin units if you wanted to, and the free javelin shot, of course, also works for all the javelin units on their own. It's just super powerful. It's super powerful.
Yeah, so don't end up within short of a Carolingian javelin unit.
Yes, you will be obliterated.
All right, pro tip. I think it's something that we can all use in our day-to-day lives.
Yeah, for sure. Next up is Defensor. It's a melee or shooting reaction that takes an uncommon die. Gain defense dice equal to your Perilium plus one. It's great value. It's melee or shooting reaction, so very flexible. And four defense dice for non-common is good. If this was a common, I think that would be insane. But this is being an uncommon, it's good. If you have the uncommon, because there's other abilities on here that definitely like the uncommon as well. But yes, going into any faction that you know has one or two big attacks, having this up, kind of negating some of that, it's great. It's a great ability. Not much to say about it, I think.
Yep, definitely. Also, super fun with Domine as well, if you need some extra defense dice.
All right, yeah, that's a good point, actually. Domine, the four abilities that are coming now, like Defensor and the three ones up next, these are the ones you can replicate with Domine, since it's only melee, shooting, or shooting reaction, and the ones we just talked about before now are activations and orders or orders reaction. So Defensor is the first one that you can duplicate, and the three ones coming up also you can duplicate them as well.
Yes. All right, so the next one is Vinko. This is a melee or shooting ability using also an uncommon dice. So inflict a number of automatic hits equal to half your Perilium. So Saga always ends up rounding up things. So you're going to have three dice on your Perilium if you're doing this correctly, which means two automatic hits. Again, very, very potent if you mix this in with Domine for either if you're shooting once, you can get four automatic hits or an uncommon and a rare, which is fun, especially against high armor targets. Or you can spread it out over two different shots if you just want to spread the love around a little bit. And yeah, this is melee or shooting. So either way, pretty amazing. It means basically even if you're hitting them on sixes or if you're being charged while you're exhausted, you're still putting down some serious pain with these automatic hits.
Yeah, in my opinion, if you know how to use this, that this can be very effective in both shooting or melee.
And you can even do it in shooting and melee in a single turn with Domine. Sure. So you don't even have to choose.
Yeah. Yes. So in shooting, I think this can be sometimes be a trap, because into warriors, this you pay one uncommon to basically in shooting just gain one more kill, and in warriors or javelins, I think that might not be worth it. But in Hearthguard, of course, and then Hearthguard, if you're shooting Hearthguard, your opponents screwed anyway. So yeah, this I think the best case for this, as you just said, is if you're being charged by Hearthguard, or if you charge Hearthguard and you have a fatigue, you're going to hit them on sixes or not at all, and then this can really put hurt where they didn't expect it to be. So yeah, good one. Next up is Potentia. It's a melee or shooting ability that can take any die facing, although the rare doesn't give you any benefits here. You can reroll a number of attack dice which didn't score hits equal to twice your Perilium. I think this is a non-spectacular ability that just works. Like having some rerolls can be super good, and especially if you kind of do the maths and you know how many attack dice you should be missing, being able to reroll them can be, yeah, it's great value. Usually this is great value. So yes, doing this or in an ability and an attack, doing this ability on an attack where you have lots of attack dice and you know you're going to miss like a certain number, maybe 6, would be good with being able to reroll twice your Perillium. Then this is great. But being Javelin, I think being at their best as a Javelin army, you kind of have to take that +1 into consideration as well, because sometimes I've seen this wasted because the player forgot that their +1 will maybe make them hit on 3s or 2s, and then there weren't enough misses to make this worth it. So yeah, keep that in mind.
Yep. All right. So probably one of the less used abilities.
I would agree.
All right. So we've got to the end of the battle board. So the last one is called Fortis. It's a melee ability and can only be used with a rare. So gain attack or defense dice equal to your Perillium. Your opponent must discard as many dice as you gained of the same type. Nice.
It's so good.
Yeah. So it's so mostly, I guess, unless you're playing Scots, your kind of gaining defense dice is maybe less useful, because you're generally, people don't amass a gigantic amount of defense dice.
Not in step 3 of combat. Yeah.
So I guess except for your Scots, this might come in handy. this is a really, really fun way of just kind of eliminating any attacks coming back from like units that's close ranks or stuff like that. So very fun. Also, if you do decide to roll multiple rares, you can also use Dominate on this. You completely eliminate somebody's attacks coming into you. Yeah, very solid.
And this in Warlord on Warlord, this is just, I think it's insane value. You're taking 3 attack dice away is always painful, and then gaining 3 yourself is super good. So and if you can do it twice for your Warlord, that's going to be, instead of having 8 attacks and 8 attacks, you're going to have 14 into 2 attacks. So you're going to have a fun time. Your opponent won't. So enjoy.
Yep. I think enough said there. It's good. Do it if you roll rare.
Fun times. Yeah.
All right. So we've gone through the battle board. How do you actually play this warband? What would you be taking? Let's start off with just the plain vanilla faction, the Carolingians.
Oh, that will be your job. I don't think I'll ever play the plain vanilla ones. I always do the Merovingians.
Fair enough. So just as a quick reminder, the Carolingian option is just the Warlord and Hearthguard can be on horses, or they can be on foot with no special equipment, and then the warriors are either on horse or on foot. And if they're on foot, they can either have bows or just no special equipment. So they're pretty plain vanilla, and then the levies are equipped with javelins. So for this one, I think taking 3 points of warriors on foot gives you a nice little fire base of either, first of all, it gives you incredible optionality, being able to switch them into basically every single unit type, either mounted, shooting, or melee on foot, which is very useful. For example, if you're playing the Pagan Rus, you can just be like, oh, I guess I'm just going to take some dudes on foot who are not going to shoot, because the mounted options are completely useless. So just like that, just how many options you actually have to your disposal are just very powerful in of themselves. So number one, being able to take 3 points of warriors also means that you have a pretty sizable shooting option, especially with Ardor. You can get lots of shot down range, and then you also have either you can go 3 points of warriors, 3 points of Hearthguard, and then split the Hearthguard in 2 units of 6, in which case Illusio works very nicely with them, because you can Mac, you can charge with a Mac unit size of maximum 6 in that case. So all of that makes it very flexible. You do end up having maximum of 5 saga dice to play. So it is quite fragile if you kind of lose either a unit or something else like that. But since you're capped at 6 dice, or sorry, 5 saga dice anyway, it's not as big a deal as for other warbands.
Yeah, I think I am a big big 7 saga dice appreciator, but for the Carolingians, 5 or 6 saga dice can definitely work.
So
right, for the
let's talk about the different flavors.
Yeah, for the Merovingians, I think the warband I personally have is just 3 points of levies with javelins and 3 points of hearthguard with javelins on horses. And then, of course, have some foot hearthguard ready in case you're running into Pagan Russ or like any terrain hiding faction, Picts or Irish, whatever. So the six stacks of warriors of hearthguard, sorry, they're incredible with the Ardor and Illusio, even on foot. Like, they can go really far and not have a fatigue, and also into terrain. I think that's maybe one of the quicker factions to, like, not love terrain but don't mind it too much. Like, they can just walk into it when they're foot ones and be quick and everything. The 3 points of levies with charged javelins, they're going to be a machine gun. Of course you can charge them, but if you play it right, you can have the fortress ready and take away attack dice from your opponent and gain enough attack dice yourself so that you're putting a dent into whatever unit is trying to do that. And then you have 2 more of these machine gun javelin units ready, and your opponent might not have as many units to do the kind of running out part and charging into javelins as they did before. So I think that's a great setup. You're a very shooty faction that can definitely have a punch with their 2 hardcore units and their warlord as well. And Ardor works super nice on this. It's a 6 dice build, so in the beginning you're quite likely to gain a single rare to make sure your pre-ilium is filled up, and then after that you're good to go to machine gun for the rest of the game. And even in the end, when you don't have that many activations anymore, your levy javelin activating themselves and being able to activate through Ardor is going to make for still high numbers of shots. So I think this is a great build. 3 points of hardcard, 3 points of javelins, all with 3 points of levies with javelins. Yeah.
All right. Lots of options, lots of different things you can do. So I hope you like painting lots of models.
I mean, it's fine. It's fine. Like, you're painting, at worst, you're painting just 6 points of hearthguard, which is 24 models. Like, that's fine. So you have you're able to do horses with javelins and then foot with no equipment, and you're painting 3 points of javi. Jesus Christ, of javelin levy, which you can use basically for every faction that likes javelin levy. So it's fine. It's an investment in your saga future, man.
All right, that's true. And generally, you can get away with things or models that look super generic. So you can just use the trusty old Griffin Beast Dark Age Warriors. So we've mentioned those as well. Awesome. All right. What are some pro tips if someone wants to start Carolingians?
Don't do what's the most recent one?
Capetians,
don't do them, because 8 stack of warriors with crossbows, like, that's not good. And I think the very important thing here is to learn about, like, dice economy, and because it's so different, right? You have only 5 dice, and so everything you do needs to be really important right now. So you can't do what you think is going to be good. You have to do what needs to be done this turn, I think, with 5 dice. And yes, so I think that's the biggest thing for these guys.
Yep. Agreed. Also, model choice. How would you build these guys?
Yeah. Right. So there's some cool 3D models out there these days by Aquarius Miniatures. And I think Stronghold Terrain bought the rights to print these guys and build them. And they look incredible. They feel like the Reconquer design minis for all the Crusade factions. Very detailed, very, very nice. And so other than that, I think it's perfectly fine to use Gripping Beast Dark Age Warriors. Because for the Hearthguard, there isn't really anything out there that can that like has the bucket style helmet that so many of the Christianized Frankish like illustrations have, even though we don't know if that's like the actual what they actually look like. But if you want to go for that style, there isn't that much out there, so I can highly recommend the Stronghold Terrain printed versions of the Aquarius miniatures, or just getting Aquarius miniatures off My Mini Factory yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the little weird bucket style helmets are, I think they found like one example somewhere. So
I don't think they did.
I think it's a little bit controversial maybe within the historical circles, but
yeah,
they do look cool and they do make them distinctive. And especially in the Dark Ages, people are always kind of like looking for a way to make a specific faction look slightly distinctive, even though probably everyone looked pretty similar. So
that's a hot take for many players out there.
That's fine. I think they look cool, and the 3D printed versions look really cool. I also think the metal models from Gripping Beasts look pretty sweet.
Yeah, especially
the Hearthguard with like the scale mail and the cool helmets. I think those look pretty damn legit. And then finally, I think if you want to go the Victrix route, you can definitely just throw in some of the Dark Age archers. You can use them kind of as unarmored warriors with normal weapons anyway. And also you can just switch out, I think maybe a little bit controversial, you can use the Norman Knights with maybe not using the kite shields. I think the chainmail hauberks are going to be a little bit long for Carolingians, except for maybe if you're using the Capetians. But I think generally they'll pass pretty solidly for Carolingians. So lots of different options. And then also, I think Gripping Beast also just uses their... I think you can probably get away with the Dark Age... Do they have armored Dark Age warriors or the Goth?
They have like the Saxon Hearthguard, right? And then they have the Viking Hearthguard, but I'm not sure either of those would work great for these guys.
Yeah, maybe not, but I'm thinking more about the mounted options. I think there you're kind of going to run into the problem that the guys, the model kits that they have in plastic and with chainmail don't have stirrups. So that kind of dates them in a period slightly before kind of the Age of Vikings, generally, give or take. But
maybe you can get away with using some of the early Crusader miniatures from the Reconquer design 3D print stuff, because they look I think they look great. I'm not sure if the Carolingians ever went crusading. But for the Normans, for example, that looks amazing and it works like it makes perfect sense. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure, I think the overlap between kind of like early Norman and late Carolingian is a little bit of a gray area. So you could probably get away with it. I mean, it's a guy in mail on a horse. So
that looks menacingly at you. Yeah.
So I think you get away with that. People aren't going to be super confused when they see that. So go for it. And then you can also use it as a Norman. So,
overall consensus, these guys may be a little bit harder to build if you try to go for like a specific look that many people try to look for. That was kind of, that the Gripping Beast metal models kind of set the standard off, right, with the bucket helm and stuff. So, yeah, these guys might be a little bit harder to build than other factions like the Vikings or whatever.
Yeah. All in all, this Battleboard is it does pretty well in tournaments, generally yes. combined with a kind of a general that is competent. I have come last in the tournament with Carolingian, so cool. I believe this faction is heavily dependent on general skill.
Yeah, case in point, huh?
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Yeah. But like they are incredibly versatile, and like they're never going to be at a disadvantage, either due to their battle board being so incredibly flexible or because of their equipment options are also really flexible. So you can just switch it out to kind of match the battle board that you're opposing. So all in all, super flexible. It is a little bit tricky, but in the right hands, incredibly powerful.
Yeah, so how many javelins out of 5 would you give them?
I would give them a solid 4 out of 5 croissants.
Yeah, cool. I absolutely agree. It's a 4, 4.5 for me as well, because I think their raw power is insane, and their like flexibility is insane. But being a Hearthguard heavy dependent faction can, on the wrong tournaments where you need to do like conquest points or whatever, then they cannot perform at all. And also being a Hearthguard heavy faction, going into shooting armies, you will be obliterated. Not with your Javelin Levy, of course, but your Hearthguard will have a hard time. So very general dependent. And so maybe between 4.5 and 4 somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. Maybe just as a help for people facing Carolingians, I think their number one weakness is losing dice. So they start off with 5 dice on their board. If you can chip away at one of the units and just kind of bring them down to that they're only rolling 4 dice, things start hurting pretty quickly. It's easier said than done, though, with their amazing abilities. But if you do manage to do that, they're going to have a bad time overall.
Yes. Losing dice, that can also be a great pitfall if they already have pre-ilium set up and everything. They don't mind losing one die that much, right? Because they will technically still play with, like, even though they only roll 4 dice, they will have the power of 7 dice with the 3 on their pre-ilium. But if you can do it early, or if you can, like, take the charging power that they have with their Hearthguard away early, then that's going to, yeah. Taking activations away, like killing a Warlord, is definitely a big, big problem for a Carolingian Warband.
Yeah, so it's not that easy to do generally, unfortunately. So, yeah, pro tip, roll better. Brawl, super fun. I think I took them once to a tournament, kind of the first time I was playing them. So did not get all the tricks straight away, because it is a little bit of a... You do have to learn how to play this particular board. But they are super fun. And it's actually amazing we don't see more Carolingian players out there. I'm actually always surprised how few there are. Maybe like just a handful, maybe 1 or 2 in a tournament of 20+. So I'm not entirely sure why that is, but maybe it's just like no specific lines, or the only line that's specifically Carolingian is the Gripping Beast one. People are maybe kind of not choosing that faction.
And maybe it's just annoying to paint like so many Javelin levies. Maybe people don't want to do that.
This is also possible, but who knows? Who knows?
All right.
So that's the Carolingians, kind of like the big badasses of the Viking Age, crushing everyone around them, making a large European land empire after the fall of the Roman Empire in Western Europe. So lots of history. Lots of fun, I guess.
I mean, for yourself, while you're playing them yourself, sure, man, lots of fun. And then I think because they're so dependent on their stuff working, because they don't, yeah, Hearthguard are just, yes, I think they can be very frustrating to have a bad day with, because you only have the one good no fatigue charge per turn, and screwing that up. I know one of our locals on the last tournament that I organized here in Osnabrück, he was he was having a bad weekend and he got so frustrated with his Hearthguard not performing. So I think these guys do incredible at not performing well if you're having a bad day, because yeah, Javelin Hearthguard just die so easily. So yeah, there's that. All right. Do you wanna wrap up this episode?
Thank you very much for listening. What's up next, Tim?
Probably just another faction that we think won't get an FAQ, so maybe Last Romans, if you're down.
I am down. All right, thank you very much for listening. Speak to you soon. Take care, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.